Hello, Simon Hoggart here with another selection of highlights from this year's news quiz. Over the next half hour, you'll hear some of the most dazzling questions and answers from our second series in 1996. Some chosen for their biting humour, others for their keen satirical insight, and one or two because Mohammed Al-Fayed came in with a bulging brown envelope. One of the pleasures of looking back is to see how the panel handled some now familiar stories when they first hit the headlines.
The Tories are the last people in the country to notice that Tony Blair has mad staring eyes. Everybody else has been alive to this for a long time, and Blair has been more and more unpopular for months. And the weird thing is that they went to the trouble, they hired an actor, photographed him, cut the eyes out, turned them upside down, coloured them in red, and computer enhanced them. They are still not as scary as Tony Blair's own. And in fact, the most scary thing is when Tony and Cherry Blair are standing together, both smiling at the same time. If you woke in the night and the Blairs were smiling down at you, you'd soil the sheets, wouldn't you?
Andy, how might Britain be slapped down by Europe?
This is about this whole question of, there was a case taken to the European Court about the parents' right to smack. And of course, what's happened is that Tony Blair and John Major have weighed in there. And John Major came out with his rather cryptic quote saying that he had disciplined his children in a manner which was personal and appropriate to them. And they know what I mean. It all sounded very sincere, but then Tony Blair dived in with, he does it as well. They obviously think there's votes in this, and I confidently predict that come the conference, Tony Blair will get his kids up on stage and give them a thick ear in front of everybody. And can I just say that I don't hit my kids, 8 and 6, because they're both bigger than me?
Why are your kids called 8 and 6? Can you think of...
A couple queued for 2 hours to have china valued by the BBC's Antiques Roadshow in Ludlow, Shropshire, only to find they had brought a box containing their hibernating tortoise.
Tony, whose bolshy theory has whom away at home?
All right, well, presumably this would be the story about Boris Yeltsin, I think. Mr. Yegorov, is that his name? Something like that? Who's a former chief of staff for Boris Yeltsin. He wrote an article, I think, in Pravda, maintaining that Boris Yeltsin is remote from reality. Presumably that's just a euphemism for pissed all the time. I don't know what it is. And he's saying that no one can get hold of Yeltsin. You know, the only people that can get hold of him are his daughter, Tatiana, who's got a very close link to her. And he's saying that it's very similar to in 1917 in Russia, when the only person that could really get in touch with the rulers was Rasputin. And he's likening Tatiana to Rasputin, which is very bad news. The only good news, I think, from this is the fact that Boney M. could have a follow-up to rah-rah Rasputin called Tar-Tar Tatiana.
I'm sorry you didn't sing the rest of that. It's awfully good, you know. Rah-rah Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine.
That's right. There was a cat who really could... I can't remember what the next line was, but it was marvellous, Boney M.
There was a cat who really turned them on, I think.
How tragic that you know that, Simon.
Yes, Yeltsin appears daily on television where he stares blankly, dribbling and saying nothing intelligible. No wonder they're worried in Moscow. They think they've got Anthea Turner. Mr. Yeltsin's latest outburst was moved to page 2 in the Russian press after a photographer got a scoop picture of the president injuring his hand as he left a reception. Someone trod on it.
The annual Ideal Man competition in Tsetspaya, Russia, has been won by a 17-stone woman called Olga, who performed a series of manly tasks, including drinking 3 pints of beetroot vodka. She was revealed as a fraud when her false beard fell off. It was disappointing, admitted a judge, not least because she'd won the Ideal Woman competition only last week.
Our panel have a very different notion of what makes their ideal woman. They adore two in particular, the Duchess of York and Margaret Thatcher. Francis, in what state was the Lady for Turning dedicated?
Oh, this is another English monument that's been sold off to the Americans. Rather like London Bridge, which you remember they bought about 30 years ago and reassembled in Arizona or somewhere in the desert. They bought Lady Thatcher. And really? She's been dismantled, brick by brick. put in a packing case and sent over to Kansas, a place called Baldwin City, Kansas. They always have Stanley Baldwin there somewhere. And she's been put back together again as a tourist attraction, as a drive-through prime minister. You can stop and against her. And with her, they've taken an old chapel from Grantham in which her father used to preach. And she was out there this week opening it and saying that it's symbolic of the great bond between Britain and the United States. This little hut. I don't know what she means by it exactly, but that's what she's been up to.
The question referred to Lady Thatcher, who rededicated an English chapel that's been rebuilt in Kansas. The Gothic, stone-faced relic was treated with great care because of bats in the belfry. The chapel was regularly used by Lady Thatcher's father just before she was born, which only goes to show that the power of prayer isn't all it's cracked up to be. Afterwards, she regretfully declined an invitation to attend a Wild West exhibition on the grounds that if she wanted to see an incompetent cowboy grappling with cattle, she could have stayed at home and watched Douglas Hogg. Tony, who put No Yorkie Bar on Psychic Revelations?
Yeah, this is my favourite member of the royal family, or now ex-member of the royal family. Fergie, Duchess of York, went to see a Greek faith healer.
Vasso.
I thought we were back to Michael Portillo there. Vasso, yes. And because he has great faith in the future. And I don't see why we should laugh at this poor woman, Fergie, because, I mean, who wouldn't go to talk to a faith healer who sits under a blue perspex pyramid in her parlour and heals? I mean, it seems a perfectly reasonable thing to do. And I like Fergie anyway, because, I mean, there's all these people going around making Republican speeches such as myself and getting nowhere. I mean, she comes along, I mean, she whips her bra off, sticks her toes into the mouth of a balding Texan financier, and the tumbrils start rolling and everyone starts discussing Republicanism. I think she's great. I think she's wonderful. And,
Andy, who took a cruise or two up the Gulf?
Well, this is the big story of the week, obviously, which is Saddam Hussein once again ringing the West's doorbell and running away. And I suppose, you know, a lot of people have been questioning whether these punitive raids achieve anything. They seem to be bolstering him. I know the objective is to humiliate and destabilize him internally in Iraq. I don't think they've been quite imaginative enough. I think what they should do is send in a crack SAS unit in disguise deep into Baghdad, and they should find those huge posters of Saddam and paint his moustache ginger. I think that would be a lot more destabilising. And maybe, like, cross the damn bit out of his name so it just says sad.
Alan, listen to this.
What a picture, what a picture, what a photograph.
Poor old Eve, there were nothing on. Face all red and the fig leaf gone. Clap-bam, stamp your feet, banging on the big bass drum. What a picture, what a picture. Untilly-um, bum, 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 bum. Steed in your family.
Do you need the question?
No. But you love it when there's a question in which everybody comes off badly and they're all losers. Is this the hoax of the week, Simon?
It is.
Among a lot of other hoaxes. Wonderful. It was in, said Stuart Higgins, the public interest. The public is interested in nothing more than royals playing horsey. But they turned out not to be royals at all. And Stuart Higgins, the head of the Sun, or dickhead of the Sun, whatever, bought these pictures of what were ostensibly... I can never remember how we're supposed to designate her on the BBC now. They've stripped everything from her, or at least Hewitt has. She's Princess Diana of Wales or something. She's not Highness. But anyway, it was this woman. Anybody who had the Sun on that morning, as I do, in order to do my research for the news quiz, it looked like Lily Savage and Rowan Atkinson. It didn't look... I mean, anyone could tell that this was not... We have seen this woman's body bouncing out of the Harbour Club every week. We know that this extraordinary woman was not her. Anyway, they got a couple of lookalikes and claimed it was Highgrove, and they went through his little sash window in a house in Wandsworth and said, yes, that's Highgrove. They're very good at the Sun. And there they were, riding one another across the sofa. And it turned out that it wasn't them at all.
It was just these look-alikes, or rather look not alike at all, as far as I could see.
Can I just say I auditioned for that job? And and I got on the bloke and broke his back, so...
Despite our panel being made up of intellectual titans, there is still the odd occasion when they find themselves entirely at a loss. That's when they turn for help to that massive, tweed-bound, multi-volume encyclopedia of knowledge, Alan Three Brains Corran. Jeremy, who made exceedingly good kicks?
I don't know.
Superman. What?
Two people beat the seven bells out of one round the trolley race.
Trolley race. This was only in the Mail and the Telegraph.
No.
That's the... Was it in another one?
Everything.
Huh?
Everything.
Was it in Everything?
I read it in Figaro.
I know, it's a crap opera. I always take a paper. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Laurie, whose moniker was decoded?
Oh, I don't know. I'm having to look around for this. I'm having to advance the mouse. Because mouse. How silly of me. We're talking about Inspector Morse, and we're finding out about. This was the discovery that Inspector Morse's first name was Endeavour, which was rather a disappointment, really. But, I mean, it does sort of open the possibility that other people could have their... I rather like the idea of having new names, rather like Endeavour for people. I mean, you know, you could sort of rechristen politicians. I was thinking of sort of the Endearment Bottomley might be rather nice, or Endgame Ashdown, or Endosperm Norris. I mean, they could all...
So as not to upset everybody else called Norris, I should point out that Laurie Taylor's last remark was aimed at Steve Norris, the former Transport Minister who was one of several MPs to appear on our panel. Mr. Norris marked his News Quiz debut by trying to sell Alan a tank. Alan, who will be making tracks to get hired guns?
Yes, this is a wonderful story. It's the Ministry of Defence. Has been approached by, I think they're called Crawley. It's a tank leasing company. And it says it's much cheaper to lease a tank than to buy one. And the Ministry of Defence is going to lease these. And these tanks are going to come back from the Gulf War. And the company's going to say, bloody, it's chewing gum in the ashtray. How many miles have you done on this? And we've got a woman in here. We found a bra in the glove compartment. You passed me a note. You want me to mention the company that's doing it. Dare I ask why you want them? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I carefully disguised the name of this company, but I am now enjoined by my team to say it's Cowies. Is it Cowies?
It is indeed.
Are they a good company? Should I get my tank from them? Are they knowingly undersold?
I think, you know, in the tank market, they are known as a bit of a specialist,
to be
honest.
They are the tank hirers of choice.
That's it.
Yes, they're very good. I mean, it's terrible.
Well, it's...
Tell you that you ought to own these tanks, Stephen. I'll ask you a serious political question.
I think
renting them is going to look a bit silly.
I think...
Wouldn't have been any good at Alamein, would it?
Well, I can't...
Rommel had a lot of money,
to...
you know.
Presumably, we'll just wage war at weekends because you get a cheaper rate.
Well, that's...
Tony, who promised to drop taxes from a great moral height?
That sounds... Well, it could be Tony Blair or it could be John Major, but can we tell the difference? Satire's not dead, you know, but you know, unfortunately I am in the Labour Party.
There's a correction from the Belfast newsletter.
We wish to apologise for yesterday's article, which resulted in Sir Patrick Mayhew being referred to as Sir Patrick Mayhem.
Roy, here's a piece of music for you.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you.
Roy, how did the high rise rise to new heights?
I think it's Park Hill Flats in Sheffield.
It is.
Which I actually built.
You built?
I built them.
Personally. With your bare hands, as the man said.
As chairman of the Public Works Committee of the City of Sheffield 150 years ago.
Show us your...
The plaques outside. Councillor RSG Hattersley, BSc Econ JP. Anyway, Park Hill Flats, which were built in 1960-something, were very popular at the time. They're not quite so popular now. And they're now a listed building, grade two.
Bit like you, Roy, really.
No, we did that by looking at one another.
I'm a listed building grade one because of the extra antiquity. That's it. 2 points. Extra point for having built them.
I'm tempted to take a point off for having built them anyway. At least the plaque gives them something to piss on in the lifts, doesn't it? I'm not always so offensive to our guests, since they do a pretty good job of being offensive to each other. While the show is taped, the panel trade insults, hurl abuse, and Alan Corran sometimes has difficulty keeping his hair on. Sandy, how might a shortage on top be on the gender agenda?
Oh, blimey, how might a shortage...
How might a shortage on top be on the gender?
I hate to say this to you next to Alan, it's bald men, isn't it?
Yes,
shame, really. Sorry.
They're just flesh-coloured highlights.
This is a very bizarre story. Brian Gould claimed that he's been able to make his hair regrow by hanging upside down for a minute every day. He just didn't say who was doing it to him, but...
It's actually about oestrogen.
That's it, oestrogen.
It's a complete pack of lies. That men have female hormones.
Yes, if you block...
I never find any falling hair in my bra when I take it off at night.
If you block the female hormone in men, they apparently grow their hair back and never make quiche again.
All these men with this... speaking as a man with a rather lustrous and full growth of hair...
Tell us where you got it, Jeremy.
My team captain suffers this, shall we say, disfigurement.
Well, that's because you've been popping all the female hormones. Some of us miss
No, listen. It's because you, all these years, all you men have been saying, you bald men have been saying it's because we've got too much testosterone and that's why we have to spend all day stoking the barbecue and wearing tool belts, and it's not. You've got too much oestrogen, which I think is the ladies' hormone, isn't it? Yeah, just a load of big girls. In fact, I think on the top of that rather round and plump dome, there's a slight sign of a nipple there.
Francis.
Well, this is a set of instructions that comes with some medicine, some Losec capsules, which you buy at the chemist's. Like all medicines, as well as the effects that are needed, Losec capsules may sometimes cause side effects. You may get a skin rash, itchy skin, diarrhea, or a headache, constipation, feel sick or be sick, wind, stomachache, dizziness, faint headiness, or pins and needles. Very rarely, you may have sensitivity to light, skin blisters, swollen lips, swollen mouth and throat, hair loss, sore mouth, feel sleepy or have difficulty sleeping, sore joints and muscles, eyesight disturbed, swollen limbs, increased sweating, larger breasts, blood or taste disorders, a high temperature, wheezing, brain swelling, if you already have severe liver disease, and kidney or liver problems. These are usually mild and go away when you stop taking this medicine.
Steve.
Well, this is one that I did actually see in my own local paper, the Epping, Loughton and Chigwell Independent. Family, friends and famous members of the criminal fraternity mourned the passing of the best-known hoister in Britain this week, shoplifting queen Shirley Pitts from Chigwell, who liked champagne and minks but didn't like paying for them, went to a grave in Lambeth Cemetery. It bore the legend, "Gone Shopping," in a 2-foot-high floral tribute. Shoplifting Queen Shirley was buried in a blue Zandra Rhodes dress worth £5,000 that she had specially stolen for the occasion.
Alan.
Well, I like this one, Simon, because it was sent to me and the top bit's torn off. But we can sort of guess from the bottom bit what it was about. Or at least I think we can. It says, it's Palmer's Green Southgate Gazette. It says, Perriman told the court that he was taking a mackerel home for his cat. He had put it in his raincoat pocket because there were important documents in his briefcase which he did not want to smell of fish. It was not his fault that the tube train had lurched several times, throwing him against Mrs. Page. He denied both charges.
One way or another, animals play a big part in our lives. If you have a pet, you'll know the joy of coming home to find it lying in front of the fire, happily wagging its tail. Unless, of course, you keep goldfish. This next section is devoted to the unusual and sometimes unfortunate beasts who've cropped up in the news this year.
Police in Brazil are investigating the suspicious death of a goat last month in the town of Pilar. The goat was leading in opinion polls for the local elections.
Francis, some music for you.
How can I ever tell them this is not a puppy love?
Yes, Simon, before you ask any questions, since you're dishing out extra points, it's all to do with quarantine. And there's a Danish consul over here who's in a sulk because his dog was in quarantine and died. And the remnants of this dog were put into an old Maxwell House jar or something. Some coffee apparatus, anyway. Pets win percolators, that sort of thing. And he's now leading a campaign to change the quarantine laws so that little Danish dogs can come into the country at will.
Came back as instant dog. I sort of wondered if he tipped that stuff out and added a bit of water, whether he got his retriever back.
Bit of a blow. The story refers to a senior Danish diplomat's dog who died while in quarantine and whose cremated ashes were returned to his owner in an instant coffee jar. The diplomat said he wouldn't have minded so much, but he had had three cups before he realised what had happened. The British authorities replied that it would have been much worse if the dog had been rabid. That would have made instant cappuccino.
Yes, Simon, this is from the Cornish Guardian. It's the Lonely Hearts column, which, as you would imagine, is enormous in Cornwall. Gentleman 46, nice, warm, funny, intelligent, professional, animal painter, slim, quite good-looking, 5'9", own hair and teeth, original and imaginative, looking for initially friendship with any lady who is good upbeat company. A painting of a hamster of your choice for any brave applicant.
But Nick, how did man's best friend appear out of the blue?
There are so many doggy stories about this week, it's hard to know which one this is, but I'll pick one at a perchance and see if I'm right. Is this the one where two villains were holed up somewhere?
Yes.
And two policemen, unable to dislodge them, decided that to call on their police dog, only to find that it was a victim of the cuts and therefore was no longer present. And consequently, they did the only thing any ordinary policeman could do in the circumstances. They went... And, and as they say, they flushed them out. Good story. Thank you.
Can you drink water from a toilet as well?
No one at home will have seen this, but when you did that, I actually put my hand spontaneously in the air.
It's right for you, he was biting my bollocks.
I'm a vegetarian.
And if you ever come to a recording of the show here at Broadcasting House in London, you'll find yourself in what's officially the world's coolest city. That must be true because John Major says it is. And as Jeremy Hardy observed, the world's coolest city is populated by some of the world's coolest people.
Cool Britannia, you are cool. Take a trip, Britons ever, ever, ever shall be hip, hippie, hippie.
Sandy, where should you head for a capital time?
Right, I thought first of all I was going to think about the airline saying it's not cool to be royal anymore. But, this is Newsweek, apparently. The American magazines say, obviously written by Americans who don't live here, that London is the coolest place in the world. It's absolutely the chicest city to be in, and it's what it is. It's a lot of journalists from Manhattan who've spent 3 days in Islington, probably, I would imagine, and not toured the greater environs of... the lovely parts of Hackney, perhaps.
Looking around us, I have to say to provincial people not blessed with being able to come to Broadcasting House here in London, I'm looking out into a sea of plastic mics and cagoules here.
Two
supermarket carrier bags. There are some very cool and happening people here.
Newsweek magazine claimed that London was the world's most exciting city, as anyone who's experienced the adrenaline rush of trying to get a drink after 10:45 in the evening. The article marvelled at how the streets thronged with people all night long, often sleeping on the pavement or in doorways. So as not to miss any excitement. Tony.
This is from the Doctor magazine. Baffled doctors at the Pelonomi Hospital in Free State, South Africa, have finally solved the riddle of a death wish bed. They could not figure out why several successive occupants of the bed died for no obvious reason, and always on a Friday morning. The answer came when doctors realised that an over-enthusiastic cleaner was unplugging vital life support equipment. You're a very sympathetic audience, aren't you? In favour of her floor polishing machine. The job done and the protestations of dying patients drowned out by her equipment. The cleaner dutifully replaced the plug and went on her way.
It's from a church magazine in Sussex, drawing attention to a notice in the window of an upholsterer in Bear Regis, Dorset, which reads, "Open, weekdays about 9 or 10, occasionally as early as 7, but some days as late as 12 or 1. Closed about 5:30 or 6, occasionally 4 or 5, but sometimes as late as 11 or 12. Some days or afternoons we aren't here at all, and lately I've been here just about all the time, except when I'm somewhere else."
Nick.
Simon, I'd like to share with you the Bookseller magazine's review of titles of books printed in Britain. 88,000 books are apparently printed every year. And they think that the titles ought to be awarded prizes, even if the books inside don't get them. Last year, the outright winner of the magazine's Diagram Prize for the oddest title went to Reusing Old Graves by D. Davis and A. Shaw. It fought off competition from Group 4 Prison Escort Service, A Survey of Customer Satisfaction. Exploring the Bra. The Baby Jesus Touch and Feel Book. There is more. The History of the Concrete Roofing Fire. I'd like to get one more out. Big and Very Big Hole Drilling.
Alan.
Well, I'd like to lower the tone of the cuttings even further. With a brief but, I think, resonant cutting from the Newcastle Evening Chronicle. It says, "The high point of the afternoon came when Les Ferdinand scored with an absolutely beautiful goat."
That's all from the News Quiz for 1996. Thank you for listening, and a special thank you to everyone who sent in cuttings. Please send us lots more, and keep listening when we return in March. Meanwhile, a happy new year from all of us, and goodbye.
Part 2 of the News Quiz of 1996 was presented by Simon Hoggart and featured Alan Corran, Francis Ween, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy, Tony Banks, Joe Brand, Nick Clark, Roy Hattersley, Tony Hawkes, Stephen Norris, Steve Punt, Laurie Taylor, Sandy Toksvig, and Michael White. The newsreaders were Peter Donaldson, Charlotte Green, and me, Brian Perkins. It was researched and written by Hugh Rycroft and Adam Bostock-Smith, with additional material by Ian Pattinson. And the producer was Alan Evans.